Welcome to the weekly podcast from Ashford Baptist, an active evangelical community church of all ages and many nationalities based in the centre of Ashford, Kent in the UK. We hope you enjoy the message.
Our Bible reading this morning is taken from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. That's Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're going to be thinking this morning about lives that inspire. When I was 10 years old, I was very inspired by Bobby Charlton. I really wanted to grow up and develop some of the amazing skills that he had. The outcome of all of that dream was that all I ended up with was the very same haircut as Bobby Charlton had. When I was 12, I was inspired by Gareth Edwards to become a scrum half. Having had my teeth knocked into the back of my throat on several occasions, I suddenly realized that maybe rugby wasn't quite for me. I wasn't quite the size that was necessary for rugby. When I was 14, I was inspired by a man called Bill Harries. He was a history teacher at my school, and he taught very much working class history and politics, and I felt very inspired, and later on went on to teach history for 11 years. When I was 25, I was inspired by an elderly lady called Betty Butterworth. She was in the church that I just started to attend. And she said to me, "It's okay. God has a place for you. This can be somewhere that you can belong, and that God accepts you for who you are and how you are and loves you unconditionally." Of course, on the international global scene, there have been many inspirational people. Martin Luther King Jr., how inspirational were his words, how powerful even today when you hear them. Mother Teresa and her life in Calcutta and her remarkable compassion and love and grace. These are all inspirational people. And I guess for you too, you've had people who have inspired you, people who have just stood up amongst the crowd for you. you've kind of watched their lives and thought, there's so much I can learn from them. There's so much I can receive from them. And I guess for me, as I look back on my life, hopefully I've got a few more years left yet, but as I look back, I remember those people and honor them for the way that they inspired me in my life. And so this morning, here's a question for us. Who is inspiring us? Who is inspiring you to go beyond the ordinary and the everyday, not to settle for that, but to live a life that counts, not just for today, but for all eternity? Who is our inspiration? We live in a world dominated, particularly in social media, with influencers, people who have millions, literally millions of followers. There's a huge market out there vying for our attention and seeking to influence the way that we think and act. Everything is suggesting something, whether it's flags on lampposts or it's the subliminal and the undetected. We are always being asked questions and we are always being presented with ideas. And so this morning, who is it or what is it that is shaping us as people, the person that we're continuing to become? If ever there was an inspirational figure within the history of Christianity, of course it would be the Apostle Paul. I need to quickly say that's not a proper photo of the Apostle Paul, just in case you were thinking that. What an inspirational life he led. How influential in that generation that enriched and inspired a church in the infancy. His passion to reach out to Gentiles, his passion to take the good news of Jesus right across the known world at that time, his passion to plant churches almost on an industrial scale, to travel by whatever means it took, to go right into the heart of the empire, to take risks, to go where he believed God wanted him to go. And I guess Paul continues to be an inspiration for us, that need that we have to become missionary-minded, to reach out beyond ourselves, to stop settling for the ordinary and the everyday, and begin to look for the extraordinary power of God at work in our lives and in our worlds. And of course, Paul wrote this amazing letter to this church in Philippi. You can still visit Philippi today. Many of you probably have. Philippi was a church that was founded on an extraordinary display of God's power. If you want to read the story again, it's in Acts chapter 16. You can look it up for yourselves. It's an amazing story of what God did through Paul's life and through his witness. There is, of course, every reason to be inspired by Paul. But in his letter to the church in Philippi, Paul does something else. He sets the bar much higher. He doesn't ask the believers there to look to him, to be inspired by his life, but begin to look at Jesus. He himself has been inspired by the incredible story that has been revealed to him of Jesus' coming into the world, of the life that Jesus modeled for each one of us, of the way that Jesus gave his life to the cross, and of course his ascension, his return to his Father. And so as Paul talks to the church and he says, guys, I want you to hold up the spirit of unity. I want you to embrace the comfort that you receive through the love of Jesus. I want you to share commonality. I want you to share through the Spirit of Christ a Christ-like nature, to be like-minded in love and in the Spirit and in faith. And so he challenges the church. Give up any sense of self-ambition or immodesty. Start to put the needs of others before your own needs. Paul is shaping the mindset of the believers, and he's doing that through the inspirational life of Jesus. To undergo all of that required a mindset change, a paradigm shift in understanding, because this was so countercultural, and it remains so today. Everything in culture speaks against all that Jesus stood for and all that Jesus inspires us through. And Paul understands that this has to be a work of God's Spirit, not something we can achieve on our own through our own effort by gritting our teeth and trying to make do as best as we can, but to be open to God's Spirit, to be open to have our minds renewed and inspired by the wonder of who Jesus is and the life that Jesus lived and the life that Jesus continues to have today. It's a very beautiful passage. I'm sure many of you over the years have really valued what Paul has to say about Jesus. It's often believed that this formed part of an early hymn. It may well have been sung in the early church. That's why, particularly if you're using the NIV this morning, you will notice that they put it into a rhythmic form for us. And the only thing that parallels what Paul is saying here, of course, is the opening of John's Gospel, the story of Jesus, what's known as the prologue, those first 18 verses where John gives us this incredible theological insight into the true nature of who Jesus was. And alongside that, Paul is reflecting and adapting lots of words that people at that time would have used in their worship as they remembered the life of Jesus. I guess it's true to say that we live in a world of privilege. If we're honest, maybe all of us might say, I have a pretty privileged life. I'm not really struggling in any particular way. But we do live in a society where privilege is often valued, perhaps overvalued. It's all about the right school that you went to, or it's all about the right family that you were born into, or what you inherited in terms of status and position. And so often that is used for self-gain. But what Paul wants to do here is he wants to contrast that in such an incredible way. He wants to look at Jesus. He wants to see the advantages that Jesus had, his position within the Godhead, the equality of his place amongst Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet the challenge of all of that is that Jesus desired to use none of that to his own advantage, but instead chose to use that to our advantage. I don't think Paul is saying that Jesus gave up his divine nature. I think all he's simply saying is that Jesus adopted human nature. He was willing to become nothing so that you and I might become someone found rather than someone lost. He comes as a servant with a servant heart to serve our need for mercy and grace and restoration in our relationship with our Father in heaven, so that we might become restored sons and daughters of the King. And so, with staggering truth, Paul begins to say, the one who created all things, the one who brought all things into being, the one who continues to sustain and maintain the whole of creation has come among us. And over this next season, we will have an opportunity to remember that. Remember how John in his prologue talks about the Word becoming flesh and how the one who had been there from the very beginning took on human flesh and came and lived amongst us. It truly is staggering, but it's true. God has come to us in a body and in humility and out of love. Jesus submits himself to the human story. And the human story is, of course, a story of birth and life and ultimately death. Jesus becomes obedient. He submits himself to the very nature of what it means to be truly human. And of course, he reaches that point. As he takes up the cross and as he walks towards Golgotha, that place that for the Jewish people just seemed to be such a stumbling block, to the Gentiles just seemed pure foolishness, the place where people felt that those who went to the cross, it was the lowest of the low, the least of the least, the worst possible place for any human to end up. And yet Paul wants to remind us this morning that that place was the place of Jesus's exaltation, because God would raise him up and God would take him and restore him to all and more than what he had ever experienced before. And Jesus didn't do that because he wanted to be lifted up. Jesus goes to the cross because he wanted to lift us up. He wanted to raise us up beyond the bounds of sin and death and hell. He wanted to lift us up and raise us up to newness of life. And so Jesus allows himself willingly. His attitude, his mindset is set on a pathway of humility and, yes, humiliation, so that we might be raised up in and through him. So why do we walk a pathway of humility? Why do we resist the temptation to condemn others? Why do we stop at that point where we know our personal pride is taken over and it's drawing us into a trap? It's taking us to a place where we're saying things and acting in ways that don't show the humility of Jesus. Jesus was ungrasping. Jesus was humble. Jesus was servant-hearted. Jesus was obedient to the will of his Father. And of course, Jesus was sacrificial. And I guess it's true to say this morning that the course that Jesus set out on is not normally a course that leads to glory. But of course, with Jesus, that was the way that he was building his kingdom. You see, for us, again, we need to recognize that the way up in God's kingdom is always the way down. If we want to be great in God's kingdom, then we have to learn to be a servant of all. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And of course, the reverse is true. As Paul opens up this amazing hymn of praise to Jesus, he talks about what it means to grasp, to hold on to things, to try and snatch things back, to seize hold of things. He talks about the challenge of using privilege only to our own advantage. He talks about the challenge of pride and an inflated ego. And of course, he challenges us to think about disobedience and what it means to only pursue our own advantage. Where does that pathway lead? Well, in the eyes of the world, it might well lead up, but in God's kingdom, it leads downwards. It's extraordinary. It's countercultural. It probably goes against everything we've ever been taught all our lives, apart from Scripture and through the presence of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus is exalted to the highest place, to a name that is above every name. He's majestic now in his lordship, Paul wants to tell us. He's deserving of homage and praise, as we've sought to do this morning. One day everyone will see him in his rightful place and will have to acknowledge that he is indeed the Lord of lords and King of kings. Paul makes a reference to even those under the earth having to come to that place. Well, maybe that was a reference to both the demonic and the satanic. But the message is very clear. If you're looking for a takeaway this morning, here it is. Have the same mindset, attitude as Christ Jesus. That's something to carry home with us, isn't it? Oh my goodness, what a beautiful, challenging thing that is. And of course, that question that I first brought to you, who is inspiring you to go beyond the ordinary and the everyday and live a life that counts not just for today, but for all eternity? Who is our inspiration? In what direction are we walking? Are we truly living for a kingdom that we see so beautifully demonstrated and powerfully demonstrated in the life of God's kingdom through Jesus? Let's just take a moment. We receive the challenge of your word to maintain a spirit of unity, to walk together in commonality, to share faith and truth together, to be humble, and to put others before ourselves. In a world, Lord Jesus, where often servanthood is seen to be the very lowest of all positions, we pray that we might serve one another and love one another, and that we might serve and love those around in our workplaces, in our schools, in our universities and colleges, in our neighborhoods, wherever we are, that we will be inspired by the life of Jesus. So empower us through your Spirit, Lord, for we so need the empowerment of your Spirit to even begin to touch any of that, but we so want to. And we pray for that in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this. To make sure you hear more messages like these, please subscribe so you don't miss out. To find out more about Ashford Baptist, visit our website, ashfordbaptist.org.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Ashford Baptist.